The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Does the sanctification process that the believer is in prove that the believer has been justified? What is the biblical position about self-esteem and boasting? These are a couple of great questions we're going to think about today on this question and answer edition of Grace in Focus, the ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. This is our podcast and radio broadcast ministry. We thank you for joining us today. Bob Wilkin and David Renfro will be having a discussion about these questions, so stay tuned. By the way, the Grace Evangelical Society is starting an online seminary that will be free for all who maintain at least a B average. You can earn an MDiv degree. For more information, application, or registration, go to the seminary's website, gesseminary.org. Everything you need is right there. gesseminary.org. I'll repeat this at the end of today's discussion, which starts right now. Here are David Renfro and Bob Wilkin.
Well, David, I believe you have a question there about Keller and Piper.
John Piper and Tim Keller. Piper interviewed Keller before Tim Keller passed away, apparently, which is pretty recently.
I think in February of this year, of cancer. He had some kind of cancer.
Oh, boy. The questioner is a guy named Robert.
Robert, okay.
John Piper asked Tim Keller about justification and sanctification. And it says here, the bottom line was Keller said that there has to be some type of sanctification in the life of the believer to show there has been faith and justification.
Yeah, now that is a common Calvinist position. That's more old line Calvinist.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen the video he's talking about, but Piper, I've seen videos and heard things by him and read things by him where he talks about final salvation. And he says you must persevere in order to win final salvation. So Piper doesn't tend to talk that way, but Keller's talking about the way when we were back at Dallas Seminary, we would hear the Calvinist position being that you're justified by faith alone, but the faith that justifies is never alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so you must have some kind of level of good works to prove that you're truly justified. Of course, the problem with what Keller is saying is this. How do you know you have enough good works to prove that you're justified? That's problem number one.
Right.
Problem number two is what happens if you think you have enough good works today and tomorrow you fall away and die as an idolater or die as an alcoholic or die as an immoral man? According to Arminianism or Calvinism, if you die away from the Lord, you're not going to get into the kingdom. Either you prove you weren't saved in the first place or you lose your salvation or you fail to win final salvation. So Keller's position is basically an anti-assurance position.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be assured of your eternal destiny if you say there's some level of works needed to prove I'm justified.
Or there is something that I do that disqualifies me. You know, I did some horrible thing or something like that, and that is unforgivable. I'm kind of trying to think, get in their head, that there might be something that a person can do that disqualifies them from everlasting life.
Well, I think of Ravi Zacharias, a famous apologist, regarded as one of the most wonderful Christians. And then after he died, it came out that he had, I guess, owned these massage parlors and been having affairs for years. And it led to lots of confusion in Calvinist circles because then they're saying, was he really born again? But the beauty of John 3:16 is Ravi Zacharias is with the Lord now. If he ever believed that simply by faith in Jesus, that he had everlasting life.
And we don't know if he did or not.
No, we don't. But if he did, then we don't look at his works and go, okay, that disqualifies him.
Does he suffer loss of some kind?
Sure. Loss of rewards at the judgment seat of Christ.
There you go.
And if he died that way, then he wouldn't rule in the life to come.
That's
because
right.
An immoral person is not going to inherit the kingdom, which I understand to be ruling with Christ in the life to come.
And that is a huge reward.
I remember talking with Zane Hodges about Solomon. And, you know, 1 Kings 11, Solomon at the end of his life was an idolater.
Right.
He actually worshiped in these temples that he built for his pagan wives.
Mm-hmm.
And Zane said, you know, Solomon was one of the greatest kings of all time, one of the greatest kings of Israel, wisest men of all time, one of the richest men of all time. And yet, although he'll be in the kingdom because he was a believer in the coming Messiah for his eternal destiny, he will not rule because he died as an idolater. And the New Testament tells us that idolaters will not inherit the kingdom. And I think that would be true of any believer who, at the end of their life, was not walking with Christ, was not walking in the light.
I think that's a good point. I remember Zane saying one time, and I never thought of this before. I forgot what class I had him for.
Yeah.
He said, there is a difference between entering the kingdom, which is eternal life, and inheriting the kingdom, which is reward.
Yeah, I remember Steve Elkins said when he had these Young Life, Steve Elkins worked with Young Life, and he'd have Zane speak to the leaders. And he said one time, he said, look, I've entered into your house today. All of us have entered into your house today, but we haven't inherited your house.
Right.
We're in it, but we haven't inherited it. We won't inherit it. This is going to go to your kids. It's not going to go to us. And so he said there's a difference between inheriting the kingdom and entering the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, Piper and Keller didn't have that position in their theology.
No.
Now, maybe they did at some point in the past. Maybe they got the simple gift of everlasting life at some point in the past. But at this point in this discussion, they didn't get it.
Somewhere along the line, their views of justification and sanctification especially have gotten polluted somehow by something, because the Bible certainly doesn't teach what they believe.
Well, I think you have one other question.
Well, when I read this from a guy named Stephen, I thought this was an interesting question. And he says, is self-esteem a sin? How should a believer think about it? I think what he's saying is, how should a believer think about himself?
The question is, what does self-esteem mean? Well, esteem means to hold in some level of regard or some high regard. So is it bad to have high regard? If you read the Apostle Paul, for example, you clearly see that when he gets into the places where he's boasting about what Christ has done in and through him, like 2 Corinthians chapter 12, places like that. Clearly, he has self-esteem if we understand it as a regard for what God has done in and through him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he gives God the glory that it's all through the work of the Spirit of God working in and through him. But he cooperated. He doesn't see it like, you know, God's the divine puppet master and we're just God's pulling our strings.
Right.
No, Paul at the end of his life says in 2 Timothy 4, 6, 7, and 8, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race.
Mm-hmm.
I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me, but not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing.
Mm-hmm.
So did Paul have self-esteem? Sure seems like it.
Well, the Lord considers me valuable enough to die for.
Right.
But then Paul tells the Philippians, consider other people more important than yourself. So to me, it's both and.
Okay.
For the Lord to die for me and say, here's how to have everlasting life. And he offers that to me.
Right.
Little old me. That means that he considers me important enough to do that. So there's some self-esteem there. But I think there's a line. I think there's a fine line between self-esteem and narcissism. It's, look at me. What about me?
Pride is one of the seven deadly sins, right? Pride is what brought Lucifer down. Pride is one of the worst sins. But there's a difference between pride in the sense of look at me and pride in the sense of pride in accomplishment. Clearly, Paul had pride in his accomplishments, if by pride you mean joy, satisfaction. God expects us to have joy when he uses us, right?
Right.
But it's not pride in the sense of, look at me. Oh, wow, I did this my way, you know, Frank Sinatra.
Right.
I did it my way.
Don't quit your day job, okay?
So, yes and no. Yes, from the standpoint that we rejoice in what God does in and through us, but we're also 1 John 3:16, he laid down his life for us, therefore we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren.
Exactly.
Or Philippians 2, consider others more important than yourself.
Yeah, and in a narcissistic culture that we live in, that verse will not fly, I don't think.
What was one of your dad's sayings, that dog won't hunt?
That dog won't hunt. I grew up with, my dad was a nut, and his uncles, my great uncles, were just as crazy. And I loved every minute of it.
All right. So in future shows, David's going to roll out some more of his dad's wisdom. But did your dad have self-esteem?
My dad had an extreme case of inferiority.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that until my mom actually told me that.
Right.
But dad, I don't know. He just was, he didn't think himself worthy enough, I don't think.
So that's the other side of this. We shouldn't have low self-esteem. Especially if we recognize Christ died for us, we're made in the image of God.
Yeah.
As a born-again person, at the core of my being, I am a righteous person. And so we shouldn't have low self-esteem, but we also should not be narcissists.
Right.
So there's somewhere in between is a healthy self-esteem.
Somewhere there's a balance, you know, and that's part of the Christian life, is learning what that balance is.
Remember, didn't Dr. Ryrie write a book called Balancing the Christian
Life? Balancing
the
Christian Life.
I like that.
I do too.
All right, so you've raised a good question, and I'd like each of you to pray about this and think about what is a healthy and an unhealthy self-esteem, and search the scriptures, see what it has to say about it. Well, David, thank you so much. This has been great. I've enjoyed our time of interaction.
It's been a lot of fun.
It's been a lot of fun. And we're going to keep grace in
focus.
Thanks.
The Grace Evangelical Society is starting an online seminary where you can take specific classes or earn an MDiv degree. Go to the seminary's website, gesseminary.org. If you're interested, we need to hear from you soon. For information or to register, go to gesseminary.org. That's gesseminary.org. Our goal at the Grace Evangelical Society is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are some of the happiest people in the world. If you would like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. Learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here is our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Next time on Grace in Focus, is repentance only for the Jews? Please join us for the next episode of Grace in Focus. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.